Hello and welcome to a socially distanced first episode of Fantasy Friendship. I'm your host, Stephen Lonich, joined today by Garrett Gibson and Jacob Reedman. Fellas, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us, Stephen. Before we go any further, I just want to say happy birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate it. No matter what day this airs, it'll be my birthday.
Well, yes.
Today's episode, I promise you, is going to be a doozy. We're telling the story of backpacking through the Rockies without nearly the amount of training that's required. And without a little bit of luck, I'm not totally convinced we get out of there. There's a little dispute among us about how dire the situation truly was, but we'll get into that shortly. There are a lot of layers to this story, so before we get into it, I'm going to give you a little bit of background so you don't get lost like we did. Jacob had been wanting to do a trip like this for a while. I decided to step out of my comfort zone and give it a shot, and later on, Garrett said he could do the same. We went to a place called Lost Creek Wilderness, which should have been a red flag right off the bat. The first few days of hiking were okay. I'd say I was the weak link. We were making decent time until we took a shortcut. The signs on the trails were broken, our map was inaccurate, and we were blocked by private property that had signs threatening to shoot trespassers. And that's when things naturally got a little bit crazy. It took Garrett wearing a Hawkeye shirt, my innate ability to talk to men in their 40s, a bizarre reuniting of Taco Bell coworkers, and several other steps in order for us to get home safely. And when I say this was truly life or death, please know that one of our significant others was a few hours away from filing a missing persons report on us. We were in danger, but luck favored us that day. So before we dive too deep into details, let's start at the beginning with Jacob and Garrett. So Jake, you're the one that planned the trip. So I'm gonna
go right off the bat.
Okay.
I am gonna say, on my part, I was very eager to do this trip. And I was very confident with my ability to hike. And I'm going to admit that it was kind of a disaster. I used Reddit to find a easy first backpacking hike, and it failed miserably. It was not an easy hike. And also, I feel like a good red flag was, like, I couldn't find a map, like a detailed map of this place anywhere, which pissed me off because the second day, Third day. We saw the Boy Scouts with the detailed maps, like, and it's just like, great, fantastic.
How much research went into the trip? Was it just Reddit?
Well, no, I was like looking for other things. What I liked about this one specifically that drew me to it was small. It wasn't like a big park. What I was getting was people could like finish like the loop we planned on in like a couple days. Granted, they were experienced hikers or experienced backpackers, and I should have really thought about that a little more. And on top of that, I feel like we also came a little overprepared.
Mm-hmm.
We had too much crap. Like, why? I mean, the oil lantern was fun to take pictures of, but
our backpacks are way too heavy.
Yeah, no, there's so much crap we had that we didn't need. We had an axe, a knife with a compass on it.
Okay, in fairness, we didn't bring the bear spray, so the axe could have come in handy.
Well, I was mostly thinking we'd use it for like a campfire or something, but we also didn't know it was dry season, even though it rained every night.
And every night, yeah, it downpoured. Jacob, I asked because I decided to look into some reviews of this place, and I looked in the month preceding us going, and there were a handful of reviews that said, very difficult hike for extreme backpackers, and one even said, don't take the shortcut, the signs are broken.
Again, that was on me. If we had a good map, I would have understood we were going up a mountain, but we didn't, so.
I could have told you we were going up a mountain from the beginning.
Well, then, shut up.
Well, okay, so that's the, Garrett, what made you want to do the trip?
Oh, I mean, honestly, I just like going outdoors, so it was just, you know, good to get out into the wilderness for some peace and quiet. You know, it's nice to, like, reset, you know, what they say, you need, like, a couple days in nature before your brain just kind of, like, resets. So, I don't know, I was just looking for a good time with a couple buddies, hiking up the mountains, chopping some wood. I don't know. You know, it just sounded fun. I like that. I like the adventure.
And mine was just, I wasn't doing anything, and Jacob had tried doing this trip for a couple years, and people kept backing out on it. So, I was like, ah, screw it, I'll go. And I was probably the last person Jacob expected to say yes to this thing because it was not up my alley at all.
I was very happy you did, though. I feel like it was during a time where, like, I was still at college and we haven't hung out all too much. So I was very glad you wanted to do it.
Yeah, we went a year there without seeing each other much because, yeah, you were still in school and I was back here and I hadn't seen anybody.
I would like to point out that this was not the hike I wanted to do. Like, I've been trying to go to Zion. Like,
yeah.
Park. This was just like, oh, we should go here.
Like, it was a little closer. Zion, I was worried about because it was like.
I always wanted to do backpacking and I wanted, still want to, just not here.
And at that point in my life, it was kind of hard to get days off work. And so yeah. Zion will be another day or two because it's about twice the length of a drive. So that was my big concern. And I'm glad we went to this place because otherwise we wouldn't have the following story.
Yeah.
To tell.
Right.
Or maybe we would have, and it would have been somebody from Utah. I don't know. But
just imagine if anyone else besides you came, Stephen, because then we wouldn't have your 40-year-old dad talking experience to help us out.
That's right up my wheelhouse is boomer talk. I'm a great boomer. So let's go to the next part, which is the drive there. And this isn't a big part of it. So I forgot my sleeping bag. I had all this crap in my bag and we had to stop at Walmart so I could buy another sleeping bag.
Okay. Yeah.
I honestly do not remember that at all. But that's
hilarious.
Because my dad. Because we were going to look for bear spray too, right? So it was just not even that out of the way.
Yeah. My dad texted me like 4 hours in. He's like, did you forget your bag or your sleeping bag? And I was like, no, it's right. Yeah, I did. Yikes. So it was just sitting by the door, I think.
It was a cheapo sleeping bag, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just got like one of the $20 bags from Walmart, which.
I think all our sleeping bags were pretty bad.
Yeah.
Mine was also a Walmart bag.
Mine at home would have been great. That was a little higher end sleeping bag. The one from Walmart did not do the trick when it came to how cold those nights got.
Yeah.
On the way there, we had a little game we played. It was a debate. Was that the way there or way back? That was the way there.
It was on the way there.
It was a good, we won't get too deep into the arguments, but we'll just say for people going on long car rides, it was pretty fun. Had a judge with, I guess, two lawyers, you'd call it. And the judge creates a scenario and makes the two other people argue about that scenario. And it killed a couple hours. It's pretty fun. Got a little heated, but it killed a couple hours.
It wasn't too heated. Like, it was still enjoyable. It was a little stressful.
Yeah, no, it was, I thought it was fun. I would play it again in a heartbeat. That's why I like that Master Debaters game we were playing. I would love to play it again.
Garrett, I think it's one of your favorite parts of the story to tell, so I'll let you tell this one. We arrive, we're following Jacob's directions. What happens?
All right, so we're going along. You know, we've been driving for a while, and it says we're getting really close to our destination. So we take a left, and it's just, again, somehow we keep ending up on other people's property. But we're just, like, in a really nice driveway, and it just says, yeah, we're here. But obviously, you know, we go farther back and kind of going to go up these roads, but there's just more houses. I mean, there's no campsite or anything. And so then we check what we had typed in to the GPS. And instead of Lost Creek Wilderness, we went to Lost Wilderness Creek. So it took us to a creek that ran all the way across. And for some reason, it put us at a point in just like someone's driveway. And then we found out that it was actually 40 minutes away from the campsite that we needed to go. So we would have got there with ample amount of time to set up camp. But by the time we made it to where we were supposed to be, we were now setting up with the headlights to our car to set up our tent. And we barely got it up.
We did okay.
It was definitely a little bit harder to get everything set up in the dark. But first blunder.
Did we plan to hike that day at all?
No, we were just going to set up camp.
So that we we end up in the same spot we would have been.
Yeah, no, we weren't gonna hike that day. Remember that? Yeah. No, we were gonna just set up at the spot because there's a camping spot at our parking spot.
Yeah.
So
our parking spot that turns out to be in the middle of nowhere, which was
the farthest away campsite you could pick on that trail. I think is what our friend said that we ran into later in the journey.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All right, so we camp there. We sleep overnight. Jacob, I'll give you. What happens day one?
We hike. You know, there's nothing to it. I mean, it's very exhausting. I really can't think of, like...
Day one wasn't the most notable day at all.
No, I think...
Well, we kind of dicked around a little bit because we all had our cameras out. And we were, like, taking photos and having fun. And we didn't go very fast because we were like, well, you know, let's just like kind of enjoy what we're doing right now. That's what I remember from day one.
And you know what? At the end of day one, I realized I felt like the camera was more of a hindrance because I had to like keep getting it out and setting it up than anything. I don't think I'd bring a camera again on a camp packing trip.
Well, plus I already had one, so we didn't really need two.
Yeah, it was whatever. But it was fun. No, we did stop to take just like pictures and goof around.
We definitely did stop a lot more. By the end of the day, I know that I was the weak link because you guys were out taking pictures with the lantern. And I was in the tent denying that altitude sickness because I was embarrassed, but I definitely did.
Yeah, you just said you were kind of tired and you wanted to like lay down.
I felt like crap. We had the dinners actually weren't that bad. We had the just add water, water meals.
They're just like dry
space food.
I totally forget what they're called.
They're pretty good though. But yeah, I was so scared of throwing that up because I knew that if I threw up my food, I was going to be even worse off the next day. So I just sat there focused for hours trying to throw up.
Steven, I think my favorite thing that you brought food-wise was the bag of spinach.
Yeah.
Because when you pulled it out the second day, it was so, like, watery.
Theoretically, if I had ate that the first day, just as we walked, it would have been a good meal.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely would have.
But not theoretically. I didn't do that. So definitely, at least it wasn't heavy, but that was really gross when we pulled it out. The backpack.
Definitely a big waste. We lost a little bit of nutrition there.
Yep. So that's another blunder. Blunder number 10 so far or something. And then that was the first night Garrett and I had to cuddle because it was really cold out.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we cuddled until we
didn't cuddle day one?
Until the second day.
No.
Day one it was fine because we weren't as high up yet, so it wasn't as cold.
I remember day one sleeping and like, oh, this is awful. And the next night, I had to pull out the safety blanket.
We all so did. The hypothermic blanket?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll skip to that. Day two, another big day of hiking. This one went up a mountain that was, I think this is day two.
Wait, can we backtrack?
Yeah.
I think the thing about day one was we definitely stopped too early. We did not think to, like, find the closest water and set up near there.
Well, it's because we didn't really know where the water was going to be because we didn't have a good map. So we were just like, well, we're kind of here and we have what we need. So we're like, well, the sun's going down. Let's maybe just park it.
We still had to go and find water. Like, and that's exactly what we did. We hiked down our spot to go get
water. I'm pretty sure we just hiked backwards because we knew there was a stream close by that we had passed.
No, we did go forward.
We did go forward. And the thing was down like a steep hill. So we brought water up a steep hill.
Oh, okay, yeah, I do remember that.
We should have just been like, yeah, let's go find the nearest water spot.
I think
I didn't know how the camping was going to work, though. Like, I didn't know if you have to be at a site or if you could just set up anywhere. So that was my issue, was like, I didn't know where these other campsites are going
to
be.
Same. We had a good spot to stop, and, you know, other than the water, a good spot to set up is a flat. It was not too high up. It was all right. But yeah, in hindsight, you're probably right. But without a map and without knowing where the water was and without knowing if there's a spot to set up next to the water, we were kind of just guessing.
Yeah. And that's all I'm saying is, like, if we do it again, which I'm always down to,
I'm way too fat.
We know when to set up camp.
I am way too fat to do that again.
Oh, shit.
If we ever went out and just set it up and hiked around that setup, I'd be cool with that, but I don't want to keep carrying a backpack around the entire time.
Right.
That was the frustrating part. But
yeah, it was really heavy to take on and off, but I don't know. A part of me kind of wants to go back and do it again just to say that we conquered it.
Just do it the actual trail, like the way we're supposed to, and try it again?
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of like the improv way a little more.
You know what? I would like to go back as well and plan it out better. After getting some more stuff, but
I'll consider it. But on to day two. Day two, we had if I recall, a giant hike up. Like, we were walking up what felt like
the whole day was uphill.
It was forever. And I can't remember how high the mountain was. I want to say it was 8,500 feet.
I don't know. I don't. Something. I never.
For some reason, number 12 popped in my head, but number I know 12. It was like a high. But yeah, it was like 12,000 or
something like that. I know is it took forever. We were hiking all day. It was raining on and off. Kept taking our backpack off, putting a jacket on, putting the backpack back on. It would stop raining. We'd get hot. We'd take the jacket off, take the jacket off, put the jacket back in the backpack, rinse, wash, repeat for hours.
The poncho was the most annoying thing about that. I think there was a time where I just stopped putting it on because it'd stop.
It would be like 10 minutes of rain. And at that point, you're like, whatever. I'm just going to walk through this rain for a little while. And I will say, I think it's the day two spot was a really cool spot where we ended up stopping and camping because it was kind of like a valley inside the top of the mountain. Again, I felt like crap. You guys were hanging out outside with a fire and I was kind of dead the entire time. Apparently a moose walked up to my tent. I don't know which one of you said that, but one of you said that you saw a moose walk up right to my tent was just a few feet from me.
I remember hearing something outside of our tent. That wasn't a big cat or something, so it's probably a moose. Okay. Because I saw some in the morning too, because I woke up early before all of you, and I climbed like that big rock in the middle of this valley, and I saw a bunch of like moose off in the distance. I was like, nah, that's probably what was walking by.
Well, that's another danger we kind of avoided then. If a moose would have started trampling us, that would have been a good game for us.
They don't seem like they would aggress like that. They'd just be like, oh, okay, this is something. And then just kind of like move away. I don't know.
If it's like mating season, you know, and they're protective of their babes, you know.
Yeah, but we're not encroaching. And they don't see people. They just see like some material, you know.
I mean, if they think it's danger, that's all I'm saying.
Maybe.
But the second day was like super exhausting, but I was very proud of our hike at the end. Like we made.
Yeah, the payoff was nice.
We made good strides.
When the campsite was like hidden too, because we were like on the trail and I was like, guys, let's check over here in these pine trees. And you go through a couple of them and it was just like this secret valley that just showed up. And we saw the little pre-made campfire type things, like the stone areas. And I was like, okay, let's camp here. It was gorgeous.
I liked it.
Sorry, I'm reading about how many people are killed by a moose each year. apparently they kill, I can't get an exact number, but they kill more than bears do. So there's that.
I imagine it's because people are not like afraid of them. There are people they'll probably be like, oh, it's just a moose.
I'm not an expert. I don't know. I'm curious how many people moose kill every year.
Yeah, leave a comment down below.
So day three now. This is the day where it actually gets crazy. Before it was just a normal backpacking trip with a few blunders. Now we get into the point of, oh shit, we're in a little bit of trouble.
I'll start. This day sucked. I was super hopeful going forward because I knew we probably needed to like really get moving if we wanted to finish our hike on time. And the day starts off good. We come to like a fork in the road. This is the day after the day we see the Boy Scouts, which pissed me off, but you know, that's whatever.
Also, most of it was downhill too, which was nice because we could kind of pick up the pace.
Mm-hmm.
We get to this fork in the road and somebody knocked down the sign.
Not just knocked it down, like it was gone. Like there wasn't like, oh, this is the trail. It was like, we don't know what these trails are.
It was just a stick in the dirt. That clearly was a sign. But it's now just a stick in the dirt. That's it.
And we looked at our shitty map and we went the most northern path that was like available, I believe. And it led to a dead end and I was defeated.
Was there two dead ends? Did we go one way, kind of realize it was not working, then come back and go another way and it was still the wrong one?
I don't think so.
I remember we had that very long walk. It was really grassy, like a grassy area.
Yeah, it was like a swampy kind of.
Yeah. We went I think what you're thinking is we got to a point, we felt like there was supposed to be a different direction, but there wasn't. So we just kept following that same path. And then we got to the end of that path and it was just private property.
Yeah. Okay.
And we weren't totally exhausted on our food and water, but we were to the point of if we backtracked the entire thing, we probably wouldn't have had enough to do all of that.
We had a breakfast and a dinner meal.
So probably one more day's worth. Well, probably like another night and then a morning worth of food.
Yeah. So.
Which wouldn't have been enough to backtrack the whole way.
No.
But that moment, I remember Jacob sat down on like a log and put his, he buried his face into his hands. And for whatever reason,
I was not crying. I just want to make that clear.
You weren't crying. You weren't crying.
I am a man and I do not cry. I bottle my emotions.
I only cry. But there was a weird, this doesn't sound odd, but there was a weird transfer of energy, I feel like, from Jacob to me right in that instant. I don't know if it's a fatherly thing for me and Jacob that I saw him beat down and I was like, oh, I can't have this. I can't have Jacob be sad. But it was something. And all of a sudden, like, yeah, we have improv. I'm excited about this trip now. I'm going to stop complaining and we can figure this out. Garrett was between us, so you probably felt that rush of energy to swoop through you. And
yeah, it was like a sinking pit. But then when I saw you get so excited, I was like, okay, there's hope. I was like, we're not all down right now.
A couple miles back, about where the signs were broken, actually, there was a campground. I was like, let's walk back to that campground. Hopefully someone there will give us some water or some food or something. And maybe we can get cell phone service and we can talk to somebody there. So we start the trek back there. Once we get there, Garrett, and stop if I forget something. Garrett changed his shirt from a swampy, sweaty shirt.
Wait. Can I actually add something really quick in between that?
Yeah.
Because, so I was the one who had the map on my phone, because that's basically, we had to take a picture of what we saw at the beginning of that when we started. So my phone was on, and for this whole trip, I had literally got nothing because the service was so bad, and I randomly got a voicemail from my manager. And I was like, that's weird. And so I listened to the voicemail and my manager's like, hey, so your wife called the company and was wondering where you were. She's like, I'm pretty sure you're camping, right? And she's like, I don't want to get you in any trouble. So I told her you're camping. So I just want to let you know that she's trying to get a hold of you. And so I don't know why I literally got nothing else besides the one voicemail from my manager. But as soon as I heard that, because the whole trip, I was like, it's been oddly quiet. And that makes me nervous, like the calm before the storm. And I'm just like, at that moment, I was like, fuck. I was like, I'm pretty sure Elise is about to lose her shit, or has been, and I have no idea it's happening. So that is what now I am currently thinking about. So we were kind of got that burst of energy, but deep down in my heart, I'm just like, fuck.
You know what's coming?
I knew it was coming. And also, I kept thinking I had rocks in my shoe. And eventually, I was like, guys, I've emptied my shoes like 4 times. Like, it still feels like. So I took my sock off, and I realized I had 2 blisters like this big.
They're huge.
On each heel. Because I found out my hiking shoes were a half size too small, and I didn't know before the trip. So my toes been slightly curled, and I'm pretty sure I got blisters because of that. So now I'm like, okay, well, we're lost. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be murdered when I talk to my wife next. And now I'm hiking on blisters that are like gigantic. So that is a very important part of the story to me that probably you guys don't know as well.
You showed me those blisters, and they are awful.
They sucked.
I don't think I ever looked at them. I think I was just too dead.
It was like walking on little semi-deflated water balloons.
I remember Jacob too. Like the whole time, the first 2 days, I was always in third when we were walking. It's always the person way behind. Mm-hmm. And on day 3, I don't know where his ball of energy came from, but I kept being first and noticing Jacob was kind of sludging along in the back. So I would wait for Jacob. But come on, maybe we can do this. For some reason, I'm peppy now. And so we finally get to the campground. We are all just totally exhausted, wiped out, sunburnt even. Garrett is super sweaty. We're all super sweaty, but Garrett decides to change a shirt.
Because it was the same shirt I've worn the whole time. I was like, well, why change your clothes if we're going to be backpacking? So I did bring extra, but I was like, oh, I'll keep, you know, one shirt dirty and then change into a clean one when we're at this campsite.
So I changed into a Hawkeye shirt. We all went to school at the University of Iowa. All Hawkeye
Which I
fans.
Almost didn't put on, too, because I was nervous. I always get nervous wearing college or, like, affiliated shirts because I feel like people aren't going to help me or make fun of me or something because they hate that team. So I was like, oh, you know, I just reached into my bag and it was a Hawkeye shirt. And I was like, well, I'll wear that.
Yeah, and Colorado's fine with Iowa because we both just hate Nebraska. It's fine. I walk around trying to get cell phone service. We talk to one of Garrett's friends who's, like, 4 hours away, and we can barely understand them because we have such bad connection. I can't remember how exactly this went, but he was willing to drive 4 hours to come pick us up and help us out.
In his company car.
And yeah, and we were like, we'll figure it out because we felt terrible. We're like, you're not driving 4 hours. 8 hours round trip. We walk past this older, I mean, probably late 40s, early 50s guy.
Yeah.
Who's with his friend, and he yells, "Go Hawks!" A light bulb just went above my head, and I was like, oh, that's an entry. I started talking about Iowa sports, and his son, I think, was trying to be a walk-on for Iowa wrestling.
Yeah.
And we talk about Hawkeye football, Hawkeye basketball. He brings out what we're doing out here, and I explain this whole story to him about how we're kind of lost. And he offers to give us all a ride into town to the nearest gas station. Of course, we're like, hell yeah, let's get a ride into town. At the worst case, we can probably find a hotel or something, right? Probably wasn't a hotel in that town. It was a town of like 8 people. At least we get to the gas station, which brings us to our... And I should probably talk about this guy a little more than I am. He tells us these crazy-ass stories about how he's been hiking and stalked by mountain lions on more than one occasion. He's killed, I think, 2 bears in his life.
He talked about he encountered a couple bears and he's run away from them. I don't remember if it was 2.
Yeah,
I
thought he said the mountain lion one was the one that stuck to me because the mountain lion followed him all the way to like some farmer's property. Instead of him getting shot while trespassing, the farmer helped him kill the mountain lion because the mountain lion was never going to stop stalking him because he like wronged it in some sort of way.
So he's like, boy, I know what it's like to have stories like this. So I'll help these little fellas out. And
oh, he also got lost at that same spot that we
did
went the wrong way. Yeah, he said that it was either that spot or somewhere else. He noticed there was a rip sign off. And since his campsite was kind of close to that, I think he saw it. And he was like, oh, he's like, I know exactly like what you're talking about. He's like, we were hiking today and the sign was ripped off. So he was like pretty sympathetic for our cause. He didn't think we're just like morons, like city slickers or something.
Well, at least he was too polite not to show it.
Yeah.
Either way, totally fine with it. You can definitely think the worst of us. He gives a ride, and that's all I care
about. Yeah,
no, that's all that matters. I'm going to say this. This all worked out for us somehow, and it was very nice.
Yeah, the only reason we got through this is the kindness of other people, the kindness of strangers. It had nothing to do with their own skills. It was just other people being nice and going out of their way to help us.
Because the Colorado town he brought us to was really kind of no help. As a town as a whole, it was too small to have like
tax. We were able to charge our phones though. That was like very helpful.
Yes, that was very nice. Or
the phone that had the most battery, I think, was like Stevens, and it was at 5%.
Yeah,
it might have been. Yeah, because we were trying to get a hold of everybody, and it just wasn't happening. But we'll get into that part in a little bit here. So he drops off at this gas station. The gas station has like a little front porch on it. It's kind of adorable. We all shake his hand, which is very important to the rest of the story, and tell him thank you. We are so grateful for this guy, for what he did for us. And then we go into the gas station. And that's where we meet Michael Ball, who is the gas station
clerk. He held the door open for us.
He did hold the door open for us. He saw us shake the guy's hand, and he knew something what was happening, saw us all our backpack stuff on, and he welcomes us into the gas station. Michael Ball he's a friendly guy. He's 18 years old, going to college. I think Garrett buys me a slice of pizza and maybe Jacob a drink or something just so we have a little bit of food and water or drink in us. I'll let someone else take the story from here.
I knew it.
And by that, I don't mean Jacob. I don't mean Garrett. So we're going to pull it up from Michael Ball himself. Here is his take. Here is his take on what happened that day.
My name is Michael. I'm college student. In the summers, I work at a little gas station outside of Lake George, Colorado. It's in the middle of fucking nowhere. I just work during the summers to pay for college. And one day, these boys hop out of this truck that pulls up. It was a local lady that drove the truck. And these 3 boys, loaded with huge backpacks full of crap, camping crap, just walked onto my front porch, set everything down, and came inside. I think they bought a couple Gatorades. And I asked them what they're doing. And they were like, oh, yeah. Well, we got lost and we hitchhiked back here and they wanted to use a phone. So I got them the phone number for a taxi cab company, trying to get them back to their campsite or parking location up in the middle of nowhere. And my buddy, Mikey, he's a manager at Taco Bell, used to be, he was working for the taxi company, and I call him up and get him a cab. He said it was going to be about $150, $200 and it was going to take him out an hour to get there. And they'll Gatorades and go sit on the porch while they wait for the taxi cab. And I talked to my boss, the owner of the little store, and she says, hey, you want to make some extra money? You could just drive them up to the parking spot where they parked when they were hiking. And I thought about it for a minute. So I call Mikey back and I'm like, hey, bud, things have changed. Can't pick him up anymore. It's probably a good thing because the taxi wasn't going to go up the dirt road anyways. He's going to drop you guys off in the middle of nowhere. So I cancel the cab. Yeah, y'all wait a half an hour till I got off work. And we load up my little Subaru Outback 2003 with all your hiking stuff in the back of the car. And sun goes down. We head out into the sunset to Wigwam hiking trailhead, I believe.
Yep, that's right.
Middle of nowhere. I didn't know where I was going. I knew the general vicinity of it is north of Woodland Park, Colorado. So we head through Divide, a little town right before Woodland, and we go up 67, and it's getting dark out, and they start the half an hour drive up 67, and we're talking about what life is, and it's getting even darker, and my little old headlights on my car are getting a little, they aren't real sufficient, so I'm relying on Google Maps to get there, and then we finally make the turn off the pavement onto the dirt road, headed up towards Wigwam. It heads into the Hayman burn scar from a wildfire a long time ago, and the road's carved in the side of the mountain, so I'm hauling ass up this dirt road and hoping I don't go over the little embankment, fall to our death. And I hear all their camping shit like clanking around in the back of my Subaru for me spinning my tires on this dirt road and hauling ass. After a couple turns, I don't know how we found it, the trail wasn't very marked, trailhead wasn't marked very well, but we got up there. And the whole time I'm driving, I'm just praying that my mom doesn't get mad that I'm driving three strangers to in the middle of the woods at night for money. She probably thought I was going to get murdered. I texted her and she's like, we'll talk. And I'm just sitting there shit in my pants, wondering what's going to happen. But we finally get there, find their little, I think it was like a little Honda car. I'm not sure. But it was parked.
I can't remember what it was, his parents' car. But it was not that big, that's for sure.
And I was going to say, I don't know how you guys fit all your shit in there, but I park and you guys hop out and get all your stuff out. And we bade farewell. And then I headed back out. I was so tired. I worked 8 hours that day. It was dark. I made a couple wrong turns on the way out and I got stuck at some guy's gate trying to back out. There was a fence on both sides, so I had to use my non-existent reverse skills in the middle of the night. But I got out of there, went to the gas station, got a coffee. Not a good idea. Didn't sleep much that night, but I lived to tell a tale.
So I remember when you were leaving, you actually passed us again. Like you went the wrong way and we were going so slow because we had no idea where we were going.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like, who's behind us right now? And we see you just zoom by us.
Yeah, I was lost. I turned onto the, I think it was a driveway, and it was wooden fence on both sides. And I pull up all the way to the gate, and it says dead end, you will be shot, or some shit like that. So I was, oh, okay. And then I pass you guys on the way out. Y'all are going like 2 miles an hour. It was, God.
We were so scared on those embankments. We had no idea where we were going. We had not driven the mountains. It was...
Yeah.
And we also ran, the reason we were in that situation to begin with is because we ran into those signs that were like, trespassers will be shot on site. Like, is that legal? Can they just do that?
It's the middle of Colorado. And you'll show up in a shallow grave 10 years later. I don't know.
What'd your mom end up saying to you?
She really wasn't that upset. She'd rather not hear about stuff like that, but I did make the taxi cab fare. I think it was like $150 or something like that.
Yeah.
So she was pretty silent about it. I haven't done it again, if that tells you anything. But
would you do it again if you're working the gas station and three guys pull up?
I'm actually still working at that gas station because summer stuff got canceled for me because of Corona. So if three guys pulled up, I would do it again. I would do it again. Hopefully we wouldn't have to drive all the way up the embankment and go off, but I would.
Because it really was like the total middle of nowhere. It was how we got there to begin with is beyond me. But
I've actually been up there since and it's way up there. I don't know how I drove that at night.
You go hiking up there, or did you just go to
just going for a drive? Just going for a
drive. Drop people off here.
Wigwam. I will never forget that.
We tell the story quite a bit because it's our whole thing is absurd. Like the fact that we survived is pretty crazy. Do you ever tell people just you're at a party like, oh yeah, I drove these three strangers, these hitchhikers one time to the middle of nowhere in Colorado?
Yeah, I actually told the story to a couple of my friends back in Ohio. I go to Denison, by the way, if anyone here listening knows about Denison. It's a nice little cute campus, but they think it's crazy. And it kind of adds to my absurdity as the Colorado guy. I have all these stories about being out in nature and I guess saving people from being lost and driving some poor Ohioans back to their car. Kind of ties into that trope. So it's definitely a story. I will always remember it. It's crazy. It's
one of our favorite. Like, we're so happy that everything went wrong, because otherwise it's a story of, oh, you went to the mountains and backpacked, no one cares.
Yeah,
but went to the mountains, backpacked, everything went wrong, and then everything also went right.
Yeah, it's a perfect story.
You still have the same girlfriend as you had at that point?
No, I'm actually gay.
Oh, so you don't have the same girlfriend. Okay.
No, and I don't have the same car. It died.
So. Well, you told us that you were going to dump her when you went to college. And I was actually followed through on that. But
Yep. It actually went well. So life comes together, surprisingly.
I'm glad that I felt bad for it. I was like, oh. I'm going to be heartbroken next week.
Life's good. She's fine. Life's good.
Good. I'm glad. I was worried about it the last couple of years.
Yeah, just leave that heartbreak in limbo.
I can go to sleep now. I haven't slept in years.
Fuck.
Well, I think that's all I had for questions. I wasn't going to ask if you had done it again. You told me you had not, but you would. So.
I definitely would. Y'all can come back anytime this summer, Corona permitting.
Yeah, we'll just go intentionally get lost in the same place and see if we can make it work again.
Yeah, try and hitchhike back with some poor old lady. Lost Creek Wilderness, man. You actually got lost in Lost Creek.
Yep, we get a lot of crap for that. Like, you went to Lost Creek. What did you expect to happen? All right, well, thank you. I appreciate coming on.
Awesome. Well, you take it easy. If you're ever lost in Colorado, hit me up, okay?
All right, will do. Thank you.
See you around.
And thanks for saving us again.
You're welcome.
It's pretty incredible.
There's a lot to break down from what he just said. At least we can close the book on what happened to his girlfriend, because I felt bad knowing her impending relationship's doom. But let's go way back to, he calls the taxi cab service. Keep in mind, his name is Michael. Goes by Mikey. The guy he's talking to at the taxi cab service, also named Mikey. They both worked, when he calls, he's like, oh, this is Mikey? Oh, this is also Mikey from Taco Bell. And these guys work together at Taco Bell. Add in that layer to, if these guys don't know each other, it's possible a taxi cab service doesn't go out of its normal way to help us out in the first place.
But they actually weren't going to go out of their way at all. Because like you said, they were just going to drop us off at the front of this gravel road, which would have been probably an hour hike if we would have walked it.
And it was already dark.
I don't know. Yeah.
They weren't going to go out of their way because we were at a point that they don't pick up at. So they're going to drive out of their normal range to come pick us up, but they would not drive on any unpaved road. They would have had to walk the gravel and dirt roads to our car without knowing exactly how to get to our car in the first place at night in the mountains. So
yes,
that would have been dangerous.
And still paid $150 probably for that experience.
At least. It says $150 to $200, I think.
Yeah.
Jacob, anything to take out of that?
I will say this, the drive was terrifying there.
Yeah, he didn't mention the fact that he consistently asked, are you going to kill me? At least constantly. Three times. He's like,
way more than three.
He's like, you're not going to kill me, right? You're not going to kill me, right?
It got to the point that we were all a little uneasy that he was going to kill us.
Yeah.
Oh, his turning on the roads up to the mountain were terrifying.
Yeah, and he even said while doing it, something along the lines of, man, all it's keeping from falling is that little embankment. And just driving like 45 around these tight curbs with nothing stopping us from falling over.
When we were driving back, I was going so slow too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think we were all okay with it too.
Oh yeah, no, we're in our car, nice and safe, and heading home. We're gonna like be chill.
I remember we were all holding on to those little, handles up top.
The mom handle, basically. You know,
sure, we'll call it the mom handle.
Yeah.
We were all just terrified of his driving. He was just nonchalant about telling us that he's going to be a photographer, enjoys photography, is going to school in Ohio, which apparently is going well. He's studying Arabic, so that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Interesting.
I think he had a summer trip to Yemen planned out, but then it fell through because of the pandemic, of course.
Oh, that sucks.
So that's a bummer. Hopefully he can get into it next year. That's probably the craziest part of the whole trip, is just the Michael Ball fiasco.
He didn't say it, but at the beginning, when he did call his mom to tell her what he was doing, I could hear her through just him talking on the earpiece, and she was like, "No, they're gonna kill you and take your car." And he was just like, "Mom, no one wants my car." That was his excuse.
We might kill like, you. No one's but we're gonna not kill driving that.
Yeah.
And it was so nice of him too, because he just was like, "You know what? I'll drive you guys. I'll give you this trip to a place I've never been before and roll the dice for $450."
And we're basically giving him a little bit of college. It was like a graduation gift, you know,
yeah,
for a high schooler.
Very nice.
It's kind of what it felt like. $50 a person.
That's
not too bad.
Change. I know it's like you had to drive us like a shit ton, but.
Okay, but think about it. If you would have asked for $300, would we have said no?
I would have gave him whatever you asked for.
Yeah, he could have asked
unless
for so
it was
more.
Like $1,000. If it was $1,000, I'd been like, but.
I mean, there's probably a breaking point there, but $150 would not have been my breaking point.
Yeah. Anything under $500, I probably would have been okay with.
Yeah. Because I just wanted to get home. I think we all just wanted to get home at that point. Oh, yeah. We were exhausted.
Getting to the car and just finding a spot where we had signal was awful. Because my next thought was we had plenty of gas, but my thought was what if we keep driving, we don't get a signal, and we run out of gas? Because this is
in
the middle of nowhere. Gas stations are far and few.
And getting a signal, and they closed too. They weren't open all night, like a lot of gas stations nearby here.
Yeah.
Because Mikey's was actually closed, or they're in the process of closing when we pulled up. So if we would have been there 20 minutes later, he probably wouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
So that's another break we caught. Getting a signal, though, that was especially bad for Garrett. Garrett, you want to tell us why?
Yeah, so when I finally got a chance to charge my phone and we had signal, I was, I'm like, well, okay, obviously Elise has been wondering where I am, and knowing her, she's probably freaking out at this point. So when I call her, I she answers, I'm like, I'm excited to hear her voice. I'm like, oh my God, Elise, you're not going to believe what we just went through, because for us, this is pretty traumatic. I'm just like, it's nice to hear someone. And I just get my ass chewed out. That she had threatened to file a missing persons report, how I said I was supposed to be home a day ago, blah, blah, blah. And then I hear you guys talk to your relatives, and they're all just like, oh, wow, we're so thankful that you guys are safe, and I'm just here fuck you, guys, fuck you. Oh, my God, you put me through so much. And so now I'm just pissed off. That's why I wanted to go home, because no one cared if I was missing. I mean, obviously Elise cared, but it was to an extent of where it was past, she was happy I was safe, to the fact that it was just anger.
It wasn't relief. It was frustration.
Yeah. And then Steven, you had just started talking to Alexa at this point, and Elise was flaming your girlfriends on the internet. What's going on? Talking shit. I don't know if you know more about that part.
Yeah. My now wife, then girlfriend, we were 2 weeks into dating at that point. So just very fresh relationship. She had never had a long-term relationship, so she's really excited to have one. And then Garrett's then wife, Elise, is texting her, and they had never met, still have never met, will never meet. And she's just lighting her up with, he was supposed to be home yesterday. Have you talked to Steven at all? And have you contacted his parents? I'm going to file Mrs. Person's report. And she's sending her screenshots of Garrett and her conversations. Alexa is like, I don't know you. I'm also concerned, but I don't know you. Alexa was conflicted of, should I tell Steven's parents? Who is she? Had, of course, never met at that point. My mom especially is a very worrisome person. It's just how her personality is. If she had told my mom that I was missing, I don't know how my mom would have responded. I mean, I know she would have been freaking out, but I'm scared of how much she would have been freaking out. So if that had happened, I don't know if Alexa and I would have worked out. And she's gonna be mad. She's gonna be mad when she hears that, but I would have been furious if she had told my parents.
Yeah, because I mean, at that point, you're 2 weeks in, so
it was still fresh. So fortunately, she didn't tell my parents, because I'm glad that I'm married to her. But even Elise chewed my ass out, because she was messaging
me
for no reason. She was messaging me on Facebook, and I had like 2% battery at this point. So I look at the Facebook messages like, "Steven, I haven't heard from Garrett. Are you guys okay?" And I just responded, "Yes." I don't remember if you had talked to her yet, if you had messaged her, or what the case was.
Yeah, I think that was after I had like maybe, or no, I called her, and then I think you finally got her message and responded. So
like simultaneously, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just said yes or yep or something like that. And because, you know, I had 2% battery. I wasn't going to do an elaborate story about what happened to my friend's wife.
You put yep, that's like the sassiest way of saying yes. But yeah.
Perhaps. But holy shit. Like, she has annihilated me for it. And I was like, what? I'm sorry, Garrett. I just add fuel to the fire and unintentionally.
Right.
Again, I was down to a couple percent battery and I used part of that battery on her, which I thought was nice. She did apologize. She apologized next day. It was heat of the moment type thing. No big deal. But I just thought it was funny that your ass chewing extended to me.
I just want to say she apologized because I said how embarrassed I was that she was like basically talking to you that way. So I don't know if that was out of her own heart or because I said something.
Through all the stuff I've done over the years, I probably deserved it. It's fine.
I was surprised my mom was like,
"Yeah,
like,
what the hell?"
I was like, "I'm like, oh, we're okay." She's like, "Oh, that's good. They said you should be back by now, but I remember you telling us you were gonna be another day. So this is like, that was it." It's like, "No, just miscommunication." She's like, "Okay, cool. Have a good time. Bye."
I don't remember exactly what my parents even said. I know that I didn't give them a lot of detail. Like, I told my dad in passing where I was going. Of course, he didn't remember where it was because I can barely remember the name. Him and my sister, my mom were all very worried because they're like, "Steven doesn't do this stuff. And he's going into the mountains." That seems like an excessive jump for someone who's never backpacked anywhere.
Yeah.
Beyond school. I mean, they're all just relieved. But it turns out we weren't out of the woods yet. We decided to drive home that night. It's like midnight, probably 11 p.m. somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah.
And Jacob's mom offers to get us a hotel, and we talk it over. I think unanimously, we're like, "Let's just get home." Because if we got a hotel, we'd have to be out by like, what, 10, 11 a.m. anyway. By the time we got checked in, all that, it'd be like 2, 3 a.m. We weren't getting that much sleep. So we decided to power through it, and we face all of the weather. And Jake keeps praying to the devil, and every time he prays to the devil, it gets worse.
I forgot about that.
So I remember, Garrett, you can probably come clean this now, because you told me. I don't know if you told Jacob about the Google Maps.
Oh, the map.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember when we were trying to get out, and Steven, you were like, "We're going north. I think we should be going south," which makes sense, or just any other direction, not higher up into the United States. But that would have been the fastest way back to the highway or the interstate. But we decided to turn around. And then we turned around when GPS finally started working kind of properly, and it was telling us to go back the other way, but we had already been driving that way for like 20 more minutes, and I just did not have the heart to say anything. I looked at it, and I was like, "We will get where we need to go. We're just going to keep going that way." But we should have turned around because we ran into construction, and we had to take even more detours, and it was raining, and we still barely had any signal.
You should have just told me. God.
No, the spirit.
I don't know. Hindsight's tough, but if you had told us while we were in the car, that would have been just another gut punch.
We had already driven 30 minutes in a direction when we decided maybe we should go back. And then 30 minutes the other way when my iPhone finally was able to like see all of the paths, and it was basically telling us to turn around. But I saw it, and it was like maybe, 10 minutes, extra. But it ended up being probably 30 minutes extra because of all of the construction that wasn't on there on the maps.
We just kept hitting construction.
I didn't have, like, the reason I didn't have the heart is because we were already pissed that we had to turn back around because we're like, "We're on our way." Like, "Never mind. Let's go back, in the rain." So I was like, "Fuck it. We're just going to do this." And it ended up being fine, but we had to take a bit more of a detour than I was expecting.
I honestly don't remember much of the night after I let you drive, Garrett, because I just went back.
Just because you were sleeping.
Yeah. So I don't know if anything eventful happened.
Finally got to Denver, I think it was. Or maybe just outside Denver, a suburb somewhere. We got gas and got some food, which is nice. Hopped on the interstate. From there, just, you know, storms occasionally, some rain. I think Jacob drove first and I stayed awake that entire time. Garrett got a little bit of sleep and then they switched and Garrett was driving and Jacob was sleeping, but I stayed awake still and listened to like a fantasy football podcast. Something. No, maybe.
Yeah, we were listening to fantasy football. We were talking about fantasy that year and I was listening to the Focus Fantasy Football podcast.
And I think we might do a Rick and Morty podcast.
Oh, yeah, we're listening to like people breaking down Rick and Morty episodes.
It's a way too deep breakdown of Rick and Morty. Like, they're looking way too deep into this thing and what things could mean.
I'm also driving with gigantic sacks of fluid on my feet. So, anytime I have to gas or brake hard, it is like a bunch of little bees stinging the bottom of my feet. So, I was trying to cruise control as much as possible.
And I was trying to be a good co-pilot the whole time and try and stay awake. And you're did stay awake the whole time. But then it was my turn to drive, and I was like, oh, God, I can't stay awake. I'm going to pass out. And we're driving through the thickest fog I've ever driven through. We're now in probably between central and western Nebraska, not quite to Lincoln, but probably an hour.
I remember this.
Probably like an hour or two west of Lincoln. We're driving down I-80, and I should point out we live in Omaha, so we're driving from Denver to Omaha, roughly. I probably drive about a little over an hour, and I'm just fading in and out, and you can't see through this fog more than probably – what, 10 feet ahead of you?
And it's thick.
It was nasty fog because this is like 5 a.m. Eventually, I tell Jake, I'm like, it's his car, his parents' car. I tell him, and I felt embarrassed because I wasn't pulling my weight for the drive. And I was like, man, I'm going to either wreck this car, fall asleep, or both. I'm not going to get through this. I was out. Jacob takes over, drives the rest of the way home.
At that point, it was fine taking over because I slept a good chunk of the way. So
yeah. Got a little nap in, so that was nice. When you finally dropped me off, at the apartment, I got up my stairs and I just crashed. Like, it wasn't it wasn't a few minutes and I was just out in my bed.
I think I did the same thing too.
I would have. I had to do damage control first.
The perks of being married. This is the weirdest part though. Once I woke up, I went to the bathroom, looked in the mirror. I mean, this is like as thick as my beard usually gets. I can't grow a big beard. But that day, it was so freaking bushy. I don't know if it was testosterone or the thin oxygen or what it was. Have never before and never since grown a beard like that. It was insane.
I think it was just that pure daddy energy pulsing through your veins.
Big daddy energy.
Yeah.
But overall, the whole story, I'm glad that it went wrong, like we said before.
I am too.
It's way more fun of a story. If we just tell someone, hey, we went backpacking and everything went right and look at us. It's just boasting. It's just being cocky. If we say, hey, we went backpacking, we totally screwed up. We ran into random acts of kindness and we found our way home. I love that.
And it was just generally a beautiful place too. So like, even though we got lost, it was still just super cool to be there.
It wasn't the same view either. You know, you had the normal mountain view up top. Then you had like the hidden valley we slept in day two. You had the little marsh area, which is probably my favorite area of the whole place.
Yeah.
And there was like a rainforest at one point, kind of.
Yeah, we ran into like a little forested area and it was raining. I wouldn't call it a rainforest.
It felt like it was because everything was covered in moss. So it just felt like everything was moist constantly. So it gave me some rainforest vibes.
But we got some cool pictures there. A good experience. Met nice people. Eventually we'll run into Michael Ball again when we're lost.
What are the,
I hope we do. I'm really excited you got his audio. That's what I predicted for the surprise.
Was it? Okay.
I'm really happy that happened, yeah.
I wasn't sure to tell you guys at all or anything.
I also predicted that too.
I probably shouldn't have said anything about it, but I was really excited because I did it 2 weeks ago now.
Nice.
I just really was holding on to it forever and it was bubbling out. I was so happy he was willing to do it too.
I'm glad he remembers us. That would have been so disappointing. Like, who?
I don't remember driving you guys anywhere. He remembers Wigwam.
Yeah.
I don't remember Wigwam. That's pretty cool that he remembers the name
now
of the park.
Now that he says it, I remember that just because it was funny. And he said it a lot.
Wigwam's a fun name. I do recommend the park. If there's ever someone listening to this that's thinking about going there. It's a neat park.
Just beware. Beware the signs.
Be aware. Get prepared.
Get a map. Get a real map.
Get Michael Ball's number just in case.
And just have fun with it.
Wear, Wear a Hawkeye shirt. That's all I recommend.
Well, and should we plug his Instagram?
We can plug it. I should say too, like, one of the things I was so excited to have when I got back was water, because the water we were drinking was so crappy.
Oh,
and disgusting.
I liked the water. It was really refreshing.
You're a maniac.
Well,
I mean, it was great when we had the iodine.
I appreciate having the iodine water. Did the iodine water taste good? No.
When we had the special tablets that got rid of the flavor, but we ran out of those. So we had to drink just straight up iodine, basically. Those. Yeah.
And that's one thing I would change too, is we bring bigger water jugs, because we did not have big enough water jugs.
Yeah, we definitely needed bigger water bottles in general. I remember mine being kind of small.
Yeah, that was the
also quick plug for Michael. His Instagram is Michael Ball, but it is MICHAELBALL, all one word. Follow him. Great guy.
He's a photographer. He can speak Arabic or is learning it, and he saves people that are strangers.
For a price.
For a price. You got to pay him. It's not free. It's a charity. It's a business.
But at a reasonable price.
Yeah. All right. Anything you guys want to add to it?
It's dinner time for me, so no.
8:30.
All right.
I don't make dinner. What?
All right. Garrett?
I just want to say takeaway is, if you're kind to people, whether you believe in like karma, it does come back to you, because us being nice was noticed by one person, and that person helped us literally survive. So just be nice to people and trust in strangers a little bit. It pays off.
My takeaway is, go wherever the Boy Scouts get their maps, because that's where it is, obviously. Not on the internet.
They were also going in an opposite direction than us, which is terrifying. So,
yes.
There are also guys, this is mean, but there are guys in that Boy Scout troop that I was very confused how they got so far into this trip. And I was struggling so much.
They all had yoga mats too, so they're like carrying just as much as us, if not more.
And they're just fine. Like, they're laughing and talking, and it's like, do you have jetpacks? I don't understand how you're just fine this far into the trip.
That's because they knew they were going to have signs all the way through. Like, they weren't going to get lost. So it's just the hope.
I did not hate those Boy Scouts until Jacob started bringing it up, and now I kind of animosity toward the Boy Scouts.
And they did nothing. We should have asked for a map. I'm pretty sure, did they offer us a map or something?
I think we looked at it, and we were just like, wanted to pretend we were cool. They're like, oh, yeah, right there. Okay, that's a left there. Got it. All right, cool.
There's thanks, no guys. Way they didn't have 20 maps. We should have just asked for one.
Definitely. Like, every kid probably had one. Could have taken one.
Right.
We're bigger than them.
Yeah, if anything, we just take it.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Jacob, go eat your dinner.
Thank you guys for joining me.
Thank you, Steven.
Thank you, Steven.
First episode of Fantasy Friendship. Hopefully the first of many. Be sure to subscribe. Give us some honest feedback and a rating. And follow us on Facebook at Fancy Friendship.
Subscribe!